Welcome, ladies, to our Naomi's Table Bible Study. I'm Amy Spreeman. Today, we are in the book of 1 Corinthians with teacher Beth Seifert. Make sure you go to naomistable.com and download the study guide to help you dig deeper. You can do these lessons on your own, with your women's church group, or gather some friends and learn together. These are some great discipleship tools. Well, let's open up our Bibles and begin today's lesson.
Well, welcome back to our study in the book of 1 Corinthians, ladies. Today we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 17 through 24. I've titled this lesson, Day 14, Bloom Where God Has Planted You. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting in verse 17. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a bondservant when called? Do not be concerned about it, but if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when he called is a bondservant of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. Now, it may seem that Paul is stepping away from the discussion on marriage and singleness and sexual immorality here, but honestly, if you've ever written a letter, you understand how this works. One thought leads to another, and you have to write it down before you forget what you were going to say. So, as Paul is encouraging the people not to abandon their marriages, but to strive to honor God in all that they do, he reminds them that this principle that he is applying here is applicable in other situations too. Other situations where someone might want to be free, but might pursue freedom illegally or immorally. Circumstances where someone might be tempted to take too wide a view of the freedom they have. And circumstances where someone might be tempted to take too narrow a view of the freedom they have. Paul tells these people to live the life God gave them. He's telling them to be content where they are and honor God where they are. God didn't make a mistake in calling a slave as a slave to faith in him. God has a purpose for that slave as a slave to honor God. Glorify God where you are at, not seeking a more noteworthy or important status by any means necessary. In context, Paul is talking to a diverse bunch of believers and some specific concerns they have. So those who are circumcised would be those of Jewish ethnicity. Paul tells them flat out their ethnicity is a non-issue. They don't need to try to blend in with the Gentiles. God didn't call them by mistake. And the Gentiles who are not circumcised, there's no need to go and get circumcised. Paul has a huge problem with the Judaizers, also called the circumcision party, in later letters, but we see kind of a hint of that here. The way to God is through Christ, not through Judaism, then on to Christ. No, there's no need to try to hide who you were before Christ called you. That was the old you anyway, and you have been made a new creation. Becoming a believer doesn't require a change of ethnicity, marriage status, or social status. The key factor is obedience. Obedience is what counts. I can't help but think of 1 Samuel when Saul was commanded by God to destroy all the Amalekites, and he didn't. God sends Samuel to Saul to rebuke him, and Saul makes the claim that he didn't kill all the animals of the Amalekites because he wanted to sacrifice the good animals for God. Now, that was a lie, by the way. Saul wanted the best of the spoil for himself and his people. Samuel's response tells us that God is not fooled. He says in 1 Samuel 15, 22-23, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. All the outward trappings, sacrifices, circumcision, etc., all those things mean nothing, especially if the one doing those things isn't obeying God. In Malachi, we see God tell the people he wishes they would shut the door to the temple and allow no sacrifices, because the manner in which the sacrifices are being done is degrading and bringing shame to God's name. Obedience, a heart that seeks to honor and glorify God, is what God wants. He doesn't want just an hour on Sundays. He has redeemed you and wants all of your life for his purposes. Paul gives an even more specific example that we need to look at. If anyone was a bondservant when God saved them, don't worry about it. God put them where he wanted them to be for his glory. If they were able to purchase their freedom, great. That's not a sin to work toward that goal and be able to accomplish it. However, Paul warns them to not think that just because they were now free in Christ, they were allowed to do whatever they wanted and could neglect the responsibilities they already had. Paul tells them not to set their physical freedom above their spiritual freedom. The truth is, they had a far greater freedom as a follower of Christ in whatever situation they found themselves in, so obey him. As a slave, they would still be able to honor and obey God. So do it. And if they are not a bondservant or slave, great. They didn't need to go looking for a master, because they already had one. They, like us, were bondservants of Christ. He is their master and your master. You were bought with a price, ladies, and that's real. The real wrath of the real God was ready to be poured out on you to satisfy the real debt you owe him for your real sin. That price was fully paid on your behalf if you are in Christ. Knowing that, don't become beholden to men intentionally. Every human master is just that, a human master, and they do not compare with God. Dissatisfaction with their circumstances was a huge issue in Corinth. These believers would use their freedom in Christ to justify their desires and their discontent. Watch out for dissatisfaction and discontent in your life. We belong, ladies, to God who gave his Son to redeem us. Paul warns three times in this passage to be content. Verse 17, verse 20, and verse 24 all emphasize this command. I said this yesterday, but it bears repeating. Just because the grass is greener on the other side of the fence doesn't mean life is easier over there. You still have to mow and fertilize and kill weeds and water. We still have such a tendency to look around us and play the comparison game. And Paul saw the damage that this discontent was doing in Corinth, and he rebukes people for it. Ladies, what does it mean in your life to live a life as a bondservant to Christ? When we truly grasp that we have been bought with a price, that we are not our own, that our actions reflect upon our master who has saved us, what should that look like in our lives? I've watched people try to justify their grumbling, complaining, discontented hearts in so many ways, insisting that for them, it isn't sin. For them, because they have this condition or that issue, they don't have to be content where they are. That's a lie. God has put each and every one of us where we are for a reason. His glory, and if we are his, for our good. In fact, for our best. Here's a great example. I've taught swim lessons and coached swim teams since I was 17 years old. God gave me the ability to teach kids to swim and to help them improve their strokes. I can see the errors in swimming, and I can see how to break the stroke down to help them correct the problem. It took me a couple of years to realize this ability was not just common sense, and I was very judgmental about some of my coworkers, wondering why this was so hard for them because it was so obvious to me. God worked on my pride, though, and helped me to realize that it was not about me. God gave me this gift, this ability to teach, and I can't take credit for that any more than I can take credit for my curly hair. And while I do enjoy swimming and I enjoy teaching swimming, there's one little factor I haven't mentioned yet. I'm allergic to chlorine. By the end of my summer of private swim lessons, I have literal holes in my toes from being in the water all the time. Ladies, a rational person would say, oh, I'm allergic to chlorine. Guess I'll avoid pools. But God said, not literally, he didn't literally say it, but here's what happened. He gave me this ability to teach people to swim, but lest I try to take credit for this, he also made me allergic to the chlorine. I should be content with the gift that he has given me and use it for his glory, even with holy toes. Again, God gave me those opportunities, and he also gave me the body he gave me. So I'm a swim instructor that's allergic to chlorine. God gets all the glory for anything I can do in the pool, including simply being in the water as much as I am without my skin itching me to death. So ladies, today, are you living a life that is content where God has planted you? Are you using potentially real issues as an excuse to grumble and complain? My chlorine allergy is real. I could grumble and complain about it and hate every second I'm in the water. But how would that bring glory to God? Even if I were the best instructor in the world, if I complained the whole time about how I was sacrificing my skin to teach this kid, I'm betting no one would really want me to work with their children, and I wouldn't blame them. Are you using a real issue as an excuse for discontentment? Ladies, examine yourselves. Consider whether you are truly living a life of obedience to the one who paid the ultimate price for you, or whether you are demonstrating disdain for him by your discontentment with the circumstances you are in. If you find yourself doing more complaining about your circumstances than you do thanking God for putting you where you are for his glory, you need to spend time examining your heart today. Bring your circumstances and your grumbling to God. Confess your sin and know that he is faithful and just to forgive you and purify you from all unrighteousness as you go forward seeking to obey and glorify him in everything you do. Ladies, you'll find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab of the website naomistable.com, day 14, Bloom, where God has planted you.